You're listening to A Stranger Podcast, www.thestranger.com.
Hi, this is Jen Graves, and you're listening to Invisible, The Stranger's weekly conversation with people in art. I'm here at Howard House with Sarah Callahan.
Hi.
And she's recently curated a show that's up now called Ask a Banana Baby. There's a subtitle to that show. It's Contemporary Swedish Video and Photography, and includes three artists, Johanna Billing, Natalie Gerberg, and Annika von Hauswolf.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, you did good.
Thank you. You are Swedish, so you could tell me whether it's right or wrong. And I wanted to ask you, first of all, where the title comes from.
The title is basically just references a mishearing of an ABBA song called Hasta Mañana. It's a sort of a whimsical title and a little bit silly, but I thought it was sort of fitting to the theme of the show, in the sense that all of the work that I've chosen for this kind of deals with slight changes in a scene or in a situation that has quite monumental effects, mm-hmm. in the sense that the mood drastically changes, mm-hmm. without you necessarily knowing why something suddenly feels weird or strange. And I think that it's kind of like the game Chinese Whispers or Telephone or whatever, mm-hmm. when you kind of whisper things to one another, and just slight changes in sound makes something quite familiar, mm-hmm. like a familiar phrase or whatever, becomes really absurd and surreal. Mm-hmm. And ABBA is obviously Swedish, and it's what you associate with sort of Swedish lighthearted pop songs.
Right.
Yeah.
And you did it for Mamma Mia, right? Tie in with the Hollywood movie.
Absolutely. We're cross-referencing, cross-promoting.
So the piece we're standing in front of is Natalie Gerberg's In Our Own Neighborhood. It's a video about 6.5 minutes long, isn't it?
Eight and a half.
And it really introduces the theme of architecture that you kind of are getting into with this show, in terms of just this sort of vague threat associated with architecture, in the sense, I guess, that, you know, there's a vague threat between something on the outside and something on the inside.
Yeah.
And this is a kind of a crazy, the sort of breakdown of a home.
Yeah.
Of a kind of, you know, old-fashioned looking home, which begins with the residence, the woman in residence is sort of queen-like, and has a chandelier, and has all these fancy things.
Yeah.
And it begins with her just carting her things out of the building.
Yeah.
And the building just goes to hell in successive groups of people coming by, and more increasing violence, and sort of climaxing in, you know, like someone peeing and someone shitting and all this sort of crazy behavior. The building bleeds. And then at the end comes a black sort of leopard?
Yeah, a leopard or a panther, yeah. of some sort.
A panther. And yeah. he settles into the place where at the beginning of the video there was this sort of white lion, you know, decorative sculpture.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Have I told it very well?
I think so, yeah. And I think one of the other interesting things that happens, and you need to really watch it quite a few times because it's so complex and there are so many different characters that kind of come and go, but people are sort of in successive stages taking things out of the building too. So there's a lot of sort of looting going on, and artifacts and books and carpets and things like that are being taken out. And there's a real sort of sense of this pristine old world mansion that's sort of falling apart and civilization just kind of crumbling. And right at the end, people are starting to write graffiti all over the building too. And it's in Swedish, but it's very crude and very juvenile. It's sort of penis references and shit references and dad's asshole references. But it's the kind of things that kids would say, mm-hmm. and giggle. And it's very it's very childish in its breakdown, I think, too.
Why did you want to make a show about threat?
That's a good question. Initially I was just looking to do a survey show, actually, of Swedish artists, and I was kind of just looking at a whole bunch of video and photography And I started to just see things coming back in a lot of different pieces of work. And I think that all three of these artists, who also just by chance happen to be female artists, actually, I just started noticing that there was that sense of sort of penetration into a space. Architecture was very important, and there was always this sense of something foreign, the other kind of entering into the picture somehow. Whether it's as in Annika von Hauswolf's photographs, where it's very vague and you never see really the other, whereas in Natalie Jurberg's images, obviously you have that sense of strange characters coming and going, and there's obviously quite strong racial undertones to a lot of that in her work, and she plays with those kind of racial stereotypes and kind of really pushes things.
These two pygmies come in with these crazy masks to the house that we were talking about.
Yeah, and big erections, and it's sort of, she merges that sort of the racial aspect with sexual threat, and at the same time kind of it's funny and playful, but also really quite disturbing when you're watching them.
Johanna Billing's video in this show called Lookout.
Yeah.
Is the visual, sort of in affect, it's the antithesis of the Natalie Jurberg.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
What happens in this video?
It's set in London, in an area of East London called Shoreditch. And it's basically, it was set at a time when this neighborhood was really in transition. So it was right in the middle of being gentrified and moving from being a very sort of working class, kind of a rough and dangerous neighborhood with a lot of council estates, which are sort of government subsidized housing, to becoming a much more posh and kind of fancy kind of neighborhood. And it takes place in a studio building that used to be the Gainsbury Studios in Shoreditch.
Film studio.
Yeah, it was a film studio, and I think that some of the early Hitchcock movies were actually filmed in there. So it has a lot of history to it, and it had been used as a non-for-profit music school before it was being turned into these luxury condos. And there was a lot of tension right at this time between the people who had been living in this neighborhood for generations or for a long time, and the sort of fancy real estate developers, and the kind of sense of guilt of turning this music school into luxury condos, and there was a lot of sort of tension going on. And what Johanna Billing's video shows is basically a real estate agent showing a group of teenagers around, or teenagers or young adults around, as though they were clients looking to buy
and she didn't tell them what to do, right?
I'm not too sure how much of it was discussed beforehand. Mm-hmm. There is an interview with her in one of the folders here that sort of talks about her approach. I think her approach, generally speaking, is that she just kind of lets people do whatever they want to do, and she kind of films it as, and she kind of hovers between sort of a documentary approach and a director, you know.
What I noticed when I was watching this is that every one of the young kind of adults who are looking through these condos, and these sort of condos under construction, it gravitate immediately to the viewing surfaces, the surfaces that would transmit you from inside the building to either into a reflection, whether it's like a chrome sink or a mirror, or that would transmit you outside the building through a window or through a door or through, it's like no one stands in the middle of the room. They immediately gravitate toward these surfaces that are the seams between the space and what's outside the space. And what's outside the space is also seems to be completely under construction.
Yeah. It's really an area under transition or in transition. And you have some of the really violent past is sort of seeping through the windows too. You have a large graffiti on one of the council estates saying "Free the Birmingham Six," which is referencing an old sort of IRA-related event, and you have that real sense of two worlds kind of colliding and an uneasy cohabitation in a particular neighborhood, I think.
And yet, virtually nothing happens.
Yeah, it's, and everyone is kind of bored.
This photograph
wins the award for best title. It's by Annika von Hauswolf, and it's called Self-Portrait in the Studio with Flashlight and Pulled-Down Pants. And essentially, that's basically what it is. There's a woman, a youngish woman, I presume it's the artist.
It is the artist, yeah.
Standing in kind of a nondescript architectural space, this kind of warehouse-looking space, and there's a beam of light that she's pointing at the camera lens, and therefore it's creating this sort of halo of light right around her crotch. And she's holding the camera switch, and the cord from the camera is snaking all the way out toward the viewer across the floor.
And the camera is obviously on the floor, too, so you have this kind of odd, tilted perspective.
Yeah. It's sort of, I hadn't noticed that before, but you're not, it feels at first as though you're standing on level with her, but you're not really. She's sort of above you in a weird, kind of subtle way. She's not terribly above, but it's strange.
Yeah.
Why did you want to include this image?
Well, I first picked her as an artist, and then I started to look at a number of her different pieces, and I think that there are actually three photographs of hers included in the show. And her work is characterized by this, again, this sort of slight sense of uneasiness, and often depict figures in some kind of isolated stage and some kind of ambiguous situation. And I think that her photographs are incredibly alluring in the sense that they have a lot of stuff going on, but you don't quite know what you're looking at, and you don't quite know, I mean, even in this particular piece, you see her face, and it's very, it's sort of between, I mean, it could be she could be sort of under some kind of ecstatic pleasure, she could be fearing something quite horrid, or she could be thinking about something quite horrid.
Her eyes are closed.
Her eyes are closed, and she's. It's a very sort of intense but quiet look. And then you have this sort of undertones, obviously, of sexuality and of almost like a supernatural kind of situation too, where you have this kind of halo encircling her crotch area, and her jeans just pull down, and her sneakers kind of on the floor. And it's this very strange and quiet and intense
and simple
composition, and a beautifully printed photograph, and just very with a lot of references to kind of saint imagery and kind of art historical compositional references, but at the same time a very modern or contemporary kind of feel to it,
you know,
as well.
This image brings up the undercurrent of feminism that you can't help but notice in this show, and you said that you know, the artists turned out to be women. Oddly, this image reminds me of one of the worst lyrics I can remember in like the history of popular music. And I'm really
worse
not very
than ABBA lyrics.
I'm really not very easily offended, but there's that horrid, and I apologize to anyone who's completely in love with this person, but that Dave Matthews Band, and he says, lift up your skirt, show your world to me. And millions of people love this song. And I just find it so ridiculous. You know, every time I hear it, I'm infuriated. Like, maybe, I don't know whose world, you know, like, what are you talking, this world is my world. What? You know, it makes me so angry. And it reminded me, this, you know, of course reminded me, it seems like a joke on that kind of idea that, like, you know,
it's kind of
vagina.
Forcing you to, I mean, it's the viewfinder that's pointing right at her midsection. So you kind of, that becomes the focal point, and it's the center of the photograph as well. So it is, but on the other hand, she's in charge, and she's holding the release button on the, I don't know what that's called in English.
What do you make of the fact that all these three artists that you chose were women?
I don't know. I mean, it's obviously, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. I had another artist that I really wanted to bring in that was a man.
Oh.
I know. And it didn't work out for various reasons. But so I didn't actually set up to do an all-female show. But I do think that the work reflects that to a certain extent. But I also don't want to make too much of it. I think that it's relevant, but it's not super relevant. And I think that a man being thrown into this would have fit just as well. I hope, anyway.
Well, thanks for taking so much time to talk about it.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Invisible, Strangers Weekly Conversation with People in Art.